Our scripture reading for our meditation this morning is taken from the first letter of St. Peter, the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. If you were to go downtown Main Street Hill, all the way till it tees at the end, where you finally reach the river, you'd see a huge dike. That dike was not always there. The city of Mankato has flooded many, many times. These are the years: 1881, 1908, 1916, 1951, and then I remember this one as a little child, 1965. In fact, there used to be, right in the main hallway of Old Main, there used to be a plaque on the wall thanking Bethany students who had to go down there and make sandbags to try to prevent the river from flooding even more greatly. I don't know where that plaque is today. Back when I was a child, there used to be a pretty good-sized park, a zoo at Sibley Park. There's still a petting zoo there today, but there was actually a significant zoo there. They had bears. I believe there was a tiger, lion, some larger creatures that were in that zoo originally. And in 1965, when that flood came through Sibley Park, many of those animals died in their cages. But there were some of them that, because of the floodwaters and their cages being opened on the top, were lifted out of their cages. And a report went out into the city that had to be careful. There were a few wild animals now loose in the city. Can you imagine that? As a six-year-old, I was a little freaked out by that. Once in a while, that happens, where a wild animal gets loose somewhere. And it often causes a little bit of panic and a little bit of fear. You hear reports in California and so on. The Holy Spirit chooses to use this imagery of a lion that is out seeking his prey in order to teach us some spiritual lessons about ourselves and to help, if you will, to help each one of us take a personal inventory of our own spiritual lives and our relationship to our Savior. Back in Jesus' day, there were at least six different types of lions just in the region of Israel. So these words were very prevalent, and they were wild animals that would be out and about. And attacks by lions were much more frequent than certainly we would have them in our country today. Now, just some things about lions that are interesting, that where we can make application as to why the Holy Spirit uses this imagery. Why didn't he pick another animal? Well, there's a lot of application from this for us. First of all, lions aren't known for being exceptionally fast. They're actually kind of slow compared to some of the other bigger cats. And so because of that, they have to be wise about stalking their prey. And they often take their time, and they'll often study their prey to try to figure out exactly how to attack. What a picture of the devil toward me and toward you. That he has to kind of take his time with us. And he has to be very selective and thoughtful about what are the types of things that I can use to destroy this faith that God has placed in the hearts of this individual. And so there's a certain proximity that a lion has to have toward his prey. And so it is with the devil. He has to get close to us. He has to figure out a way to slide in close enough to us in our lives in order to try to work on us. Lions often try to kind of lull their prey into a false sense of security. In fact, the people who study these things tell you that there are times when lions will pretend to fall asleep next to their prey, next to a herd that's down by some water or something. And they'll often, while they're sleeping in that grass nearby, they'll be far enough away that the prey they're trying to get at feels comfortable with them. And then while they're sleeping, they'll slowly begin to roll in the grass and take rolling turns so that they get closer and closer to their prey. We're told in the book of Job that Satan says to God that he himself, he says, has been going back and forth on the earth. This idea of prowling around like a roaring lion is very prevalent, isn't it? That he goes out seeking into the world, looking for souls that he can attack at the moments of weakness. Just 10 months ago, out in the Washington State area, there were two young men out mountain biking, and there was a mountain lion that sat up on a cliff next to this path where bikers went by frequently, and finally chose to jump down and attack and was able to hit both of them. One of them was very badly injured. He chased another man off into the woods and finally destroyed him and killed him. When the authorities came, they found the mountain lion standing over his dead body. When the devil comes at you and me, his purpose isn't just to get you to fall into sin. That's easy. Our sinful human nature is doing that all the time. That's not really what it's about for him, just to get us to sin. He wants to devour us. He wants to destroy our faith. He wants you to fall in love with your sin so that you don't care about it anymore. You don't think about it anymore as being anything you need to be concerned about before God. He wants you to get comfortable with your sin. That's what he likes, because that's when he can get at your soul. That's when he can cause you to love Christ less and to think less about his word and sacrament and staying in that faith. And so his goal isn't just to injure you by making you sin. His goal is to devour you and to consume you. And that's why he's willing to be so patient as well. And they'll often study the herd. A lion will study the herd to try to pick out the most vulnerable and then go for the spot on that animal, that creature, where they are the weakest. Think about it. When the devil came and tempted our Lord Jesus, the very Son of God, when the devil came to try to get him off of his work of paying for our sins, he went after him at a time when he was hungry and fasting. He even goes after God. What should that tell us about him? He's so bold and has such audacity that he would even go after the Son of God himself. So when Satan desires to attack us, it's with the goal of devouring us. Sometimes the animals will be isolated from the herd and taken away from the herd. It's another thing that often happens to Christians is through various ways the devil tempts us to get away from church and fellow believers and those that can help and assist us and strengthen us in our faith, and then go after us where we are the weakest. Now, our God, our Heavenly Father, who has purchased heaven for us and given us this gift of faith and doesn't want to see it destroyed, wants you and me to be able to come to that perfect home he's won for us through Christ. He calls on you and me in this world to be poised and alert in this fight. He says, be sober. That doesn't mean just don't get drunk. That's part of it. But it has more to do with how you approach your life. It has more to do with how you look at the things that are going on in your life. Be sober. Be vigilant. To be vigilant means you're up at night watching, in a sense. You're thinking and watching for places where the devil can potentially harm you in your faith. Now, having said all of this, and the Bible presents Satan as someone that we really need to pay attention to, at the same time, God doesn't want us quivering in fear or living our lives in terror of the devil. Because his own Son, our Lord Jesus, has already come to defeat him and defang him and declaw him for us. And God wants us to remember where our true protection from this wicked foe is to be found. Even the young teenager David was able to go and slay a lion with his bare hands while he was a shepherd taking care of his sheep. A little picture in the Bible of the great good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has come into this world to defeat the power of the devil by his death on Calvary and his glorious resurrection from the grave. And that's why when Peter, by God's direction, tells us how we are to go up against him, what does he say? He says, stay steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. This is the faith that St. John tells us overcomes the world. It's not a faith that is in itself or about itself. I know my faith is up and down and feeble and weak all the time, back and forth. But it's the object of our faith, Christ. That's where our strength is to be found, in what he's done for us and what he's promised us and in how he comes to us. He is the one who is so helpful to us in this great fight. Not long ago, the famous drug kingpin El Chapo was captured, this man who had caused such death and horror in the world, and recently brought to trial. And if you've seen pictures of him, he looks like a quibbling little guy that works in the front desks of Walmart. And just this little man now, and he's been completely taken out of his zone of all of his power. A picture of what Christ has done for us with the devil. The devil isn't equal with Christ. He's an angel, a fallen angel. Christ is God himself, and he has defeated him for us. And so we don't need to go through this world terrified and afraid at all, but we do need to be watchful. And so one of the ways we can do that is what we're doing right now, to surround ourselves with fellow fighters of this devil. He says to us, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. May God bless all of us in this great struggle as we look forward to the future home that our Lord Jesus has come to win for us by defeating this horrible foe. Amen.